Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 11. First Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh came unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him of the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on all the people. fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch, and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. And the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal. And there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, so the kingdom put to the test. The king put to the test, right? So Nahash the Ammonite rose up and encamped against the men of Jabesh-Gilead. And he said, either make a covenant with me or I'm coming in to slay you all. And they said, okay, we'll make a covenant with you. And he said, okay, here's the terms. I'm going to put out all your right eyes. Of course, you put out someone's right eye, he can't pull a bow anymore, can he? And that's the thinking. He's useless for battle because most of the men were right-handed. And so when they went to pull a bow, they went like that, right? So if you put out someone's right eye, he's got to learn to shoot all over again. Well, that might not be such a great proposition. I guess the only advantage would be he didn't have to close the other eye. Hardy hard. All right, so very little humor there. So what happens here is the men of Jabesh-Gilead say, okay, let us call all of Israel and see if any will come to help us. And if none will come to help us, then, all right, We'll take the terms of your covenant, because it's better to go with one eye than to not go with none. You know, I mean, than to not go at all. So here's what happens: they send out to all of Israel, and Saul is out in the field tending sheep. Notice how diligent he's being. This is his early good beginning. And so the people are weeping. And Saul comes in and he says, why is everyone crying here? What's the matter? And they tell him. Saul does a very interesting thing. And we can learn from this, I think. I think there's something we can learn here. So he takes a yoke of oxen and he cuts them into pieces and he sends the pieces everywhere in Israel. And he says, now, if you don't come and help, the same thing's going to be done to your oxen. Why is it that people refuse to help one another? It's because we're confused. We're concerned for our oxen, in a matter of speaking. The oxen here is a metaphor for our plans and our stuff. Why do we not go out to help one another? Why is it that we miss opportunities to help one another? And we kind of, you know, I wish I could have been there to help. But I was doing my thing, whatever my thing was. We get ourselves so busy. We're so busy working on our oxen, our stuff, that we don't get out of that to be of service one to another. I think this is why Saul, cut up the oxen and sent them out. He didn't say, so it'll be done to you. So it'll be done to your oxen. You see, sometimes in order to help one another, we've got to get away from thinking about our oxen. We've got to see our oxen for what they really are, not as important as our opportunities to serve one another. That's the point. And so, apparently, Saul's strategy here, his wisdom, is good. Because 300,000 from Israel and 30,000 from Judah gather to help the men of Jabesh-Gilead. So the first lesson then, the first use that we make of this passage is we ought to be able to get out and help one another. We ought to be able not to be so concerned about our oxen, or about our cars, or our houses, or other stuff that we have, in order that we may be of greater service one to another. The other thing that we learn from this is, what if the men of Jabesh had no one to turn to? I told you this before, but I was talking with someone from the congregation here, a couple months ago. And he knows this lady at his work, who both of her parents died. She has no brothers and sisters and no real friends in the world and no church. And so here this difficulty has struck her and she has nowhere to turn. The men of Jabesh-Gilead were not in that condition. They had somewhere to turn. And brothers and sisters, one reason we are a church of people, a community of individuals, is so that we have somewhere to turn. We have somewhere to go when things are tough, when things are difficult. It's not just us with no safety net. It's not just us with no support. The men of Jabesh-Gilead, they turned to Israel, and Israel stepped up. Lord, help us that when one of our number turns to us, we step up. This is a great example here, a wonderful example. So, the men of Israel gather, 330,000 of them, and they send the good news. Tomorrow about this time, you're going to have help. And so the men of Jabesh play it very coy. And they say, oh yeah, we'll come out to you tomorrow. Just wait, we've got a few loose ends to tie up and we'll be out. What a surprise for the Ammonites. Because 330,000 of Israel descended upon them and slew them. Now notice the humility of Saul, like I was telling you about earlier, his great beginning. So there stood up some men, and they appreciated what Saul had done. They appreciated his strategy. They appreciated that he hit them in their oxen and called them all together. He didn't threaten them. He simply hit them in their oxen. And so he reminded them of the duty that they have to one another, to serve one another over their own stuff. And so what happens? They say, oh, well, who are those guys, those sons of Belial? right? Because that's what they're called in the last chapter. Who are those children of Belial that said, can Saul save us? Bring those men and we'll put them to death here and now. And notice Saul stood up and he said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. It's not me. It's not me. It's not me and it's not my wisdom. It's the Lord who has wrought salvation in Israel this day. Isn't that amazing? What a great start Saul had. And let's not minimize that because of his later life. Let's magnify it and let's follow that example. And let's set aside our own self-serving ways and desire for recognition and loyalty. And let's throw all of our loyalty on the side of the Lord. Right? All right, this ends the reading then of 1 Samuel chapter 11. Let's stand and continue praising God in the same